In the third chapter of the book of Malachi, beginning at the first verse, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like full of soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I want to read just a little bit more over in the book of Revelation, in the 11th chapter. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. You know, there's a lot of controversy concerning Malachi, where he speaks of the coming of Elijah. A lot of controversy. He speaks of the coming of Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I know that when John the Baptist came, I know that that was Elijah. In that Jesus said, Elijah hath already come, if you can receive it. How many remember Calvary? When Jesus spoke concerning John the Baptist, they kept saying, Lord, if you be the Messiah, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. And then when some of them perceived that he really was the Messiah, or he really was the Christ, they said, there's one thing that's confusing to us. Now, we be Bible scholars, and we know the Old Testament, we know the teachings, and we know what you promised would come about. Now, we are convinced that you are the Messiah, but one thing we do not understand, and that is, according to the book of Malachi, according to the Word of God, you said before the coming of the dreadful day of the Lord that you would send Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And they inasmuch as said, we know that you're the Messiah, and we know this is the great day of the Lord, but said, why did you not keep the prophecy of the Old Testament in sending Elijah first? So Jesus said to them, he said, I say unto you that Elijah hath already come, and they've done unto him whatsoever they listed. The Bible said they perceived that he spake of John the Baptist. And he said, this is Elijah, if you can receive it. It is Elijah, if you can receive it. So then, Jesus pointed out in the Scriptures that John actually came in the Spirit and the power of Elijah. You love Jesus? All right. So then, when we read in the third chapter of the book of Malachi, we read where he said, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. It is very obvious that he is speaking of John the Baptist. For he shall prepare the way before me. And yet he carries it on over into the fourth chapter of the book of Malachi, saying that the day shall burn as an oven. Is that right? All right, so then we would say, Elijah has already come. John the Baptist came, so the day of the Lord came, Jesus came. And just before his coming, he sent John the Baptist. So Elijah has already come. For Jesus himself witnessed and said, this is Elijah, if you can receive him. Is that right? But it don't fit together. Something is wrong. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? Something doesn't fit together. Because he tells us in the days of the coming of Elijah that we shall tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. He also tells us that the day shall burn as an oven. Is that right? And it shall be the dreadful day of the coming of the Lord. We are told that with the coming of Elijah, that the day would burn as an oven. John came in the power of Elijah, came in the spirit of Elijah. But according to the Bible, it tells us that these two prophets that was to come would have the power to call down fire from heaven. John never called any fire from heaven. Isn't that right? Said that they would have the power to turn the waters into blood. Nobody turned any waters into blood. Is that right? Unless you can see spiritually. Is that right? Now, the Lord had a twofold meaning of what was taking place. There was a twofold meaning of what was being done in the coming of Elijah and Moses. John the Baptist did come in the spirit of Elijah. And John did call fire down from heaven. Moses did come, and he turned the waters to blood. But how did he do it? In what way did he do it? The Bible teaches that Jesus was the prophet like unto Moses. Spiritually speaking, the Bible speaks of us as being the waters. Nobody ever brought the blood application except Jesus. But somebody would say, but Brother Pike, Jesus was the Messiah that was to come. But if we say that Jesus is the Messiah, then what do we do with the Christ? Jesus was the fulfillment of the law, folding it up as Moses, laying it away. And the people rejected Moses when he came. They rejected Jesus. The Jews did. They rejected Moses. They rejected Jesus. But see, the Gentile people did not reject the Christ. Is that right? See, the Christ came to the Gentile people through Paul. Christ revealed in my life, Paul said. How was he revealed? As a spiritual revelation. He came unto the Gentiles, and the Gentiles received him. He came unto his own as Jesus, as a Jew, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, the Gentiles, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on his name. All right, so we can see that he actually did do what was prophesied of him. It actually happened just like Christ said. But for the natural people, it has never taken place. So then the fulfillment of Malachi concerning Elijah, it has fulfilled. With the coming of the Messiah, it did fulfill. But it fulfilled in this way, in that he said John came in the spirit and power of Elias. He made us to know that it was a spiritual thing. See, it was a spiritual thing that took place. Now, is that the end of it? Is there to be any difference in it? Is that all that there's going to be to it? No. There's still yet something to come. Malachi said the day shall burn as an oven, whereas it did spiritually. But it said it would be the dreadful coming of the Lord. It was spiritually. We brought out quite a number of things concerning why it was dreadful, how it was dreadful. But see, the revelation extending from Calvary over the church ages, it had to be comprehended by the natural man before it could ever present to the natural eye the things that Christ was speaking of. So then when he speaks in Malachi of the coming of Elijah, he is positively pointing to the coming of Moses and Elijah in the book of Revelation. I said this before. Is that actually Moses and Elijah? It is Moses and Elijah. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, those two prophets that's coming back, are they really Moses and Elijah? They positively are Moses and Elijah. How can you prove that? Because Jesus said before the coming of the dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you the prophet Elijah. If Christ said he would send the prophet Elijah, then he will send the prophet Elijah. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, he has already sent the prophet Elijah. John was not the prophet Elijah. The Bible said he came in the spirit and power of Elias. But he was John the Baptist. All right. Now, somebody would say, but William Branham came, Brother Pike. And he was Elijah. He wasn't Elijah. He was William Branham. Now, God said, I will send you Elijah. Not William Branham, but Elijah. We've got to differentiate between these things and understand what God is saying. Did God lie to us? Did He say, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and then He's going to send a substitute for Elijah? If that is true, then He promised to come back Himself. Who knows but what He'll send a substitute. He said, I will send you the prophet Elijah. The very same Elijah that walked the earth in the days of Jezebel. I will send you Elijah. Not somebody else, but Elijah. And when God said, I'll send Elijah, He meant He would send Elijah. Now, I know that there has to be a spiritual thing as it was in the days of John. I understand that. And I understand that the rapture of the church is the spirit of Elijah. And I know that it goes back, the mantle goes back to Elisha, which is the Jewish people that's coming in. I understand that. I know that Brother Branham was walking in the spirit of Elijah. But Brother Branham was not the prophet Elijah. I'm still looking for the prophet Elijah. The Bible said that He will come, I will give power to My two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,300 days. Now, I believe that the 42 months that He spoke of, that part of the last part of the week of Daniel, 42 months, the last part of the week of Daniel, 3.5 years, there is the week of Daniel, and you can divide it up into the 42 months. There is one part of it that goes over to where the beast comes out of the sea. One part of it is before the beast comes out of the sea. How do you understand what I'm saying? When the beast comes out of the sea, the mark of the beast begins. All during that period of time, people who take the mark of the beast will be lost. Every person that dwells on the face of the earth will take the mark of the beast, except those who have had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever was. All of them that dwell on the earth, the Bible said, shall wander after the beast. Every one of them. But before the beast comes up, there's a lot of things to take place. For instance, the Bible speaks of the three woes, where the locusts come up out of the bottomless pit. How many of you understand as Bible scholars that that takes place before the beast comes on the scene? How many of you know that all of those locusts that come out of the bottomless pit, that's got hair like a woman, teeth like a lion, how do you know that all of those take place before the beast ever comes on the scene? See, the beast doesn't come on the scene until after all of that. All of those things take place. I know that people are waiting for the coming of the Antichrist. And they're speculating, and somebody says this is the Antichrist, and somebody says that's the Antichrist. And somebody would ask the question, who is the Antichrist? But see, there's a lot of things that was to take place in Daniel's last week, 3.5 years before the beast ever comes on the scene. Why? Because Satan has to be cast out of heaven before the beast can ever set up his regime. See, the Bible tells us that after the woman is seen with her feet on the moon, after that the man child has been born, after that Christ has been caught up to the throne, it's them that Lucifer is cast out into the earth. And it is at that time that John said, I stood on the sands of the seashore, and I saw a great beast come up out of the waters. When did the beast come up? after that Lucifer was cast out of heaven. See, because the beast doesn't start his power until Satan is cast out of heaven. When Satan is cast out of heaven, then he personifies himself. Then comes the beast up out of the water. And then the evil regime of Satan starts, where he dominates the earth for 3.5 years, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, because he knoweth he hath but a short time, which is the 3.5 years, the short time that he's speaking of, the 3.5 years which will end Satan. Bind him in a bottomless pit until the 1,000 years is finished. All right, so then, there is a real Elijah that is to come. In Malachi, it doesn't just speak of Elijah, but when it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah," it also just above it says, "Remember my servant Moses." It again numbers the two prophets or the olive trees together. "Remember my servant Moses and all that I commanded you. Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the coming and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, it's not going to be somebody else, but God said Elijah himself shall walk this earth. Not William Branham, not some other person, but he said, "Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah." All of these people that are jumping up and saying, "I'm the prophet Elijah, and I'm the prophet Moses, and here we are, and lo and behold." That's a bunch of foolishness. When God said Elijah, he meant Elijah. Now, somebody would say, "Well, how are we going to know that fella? You won't have no trouble." You won't have no trouble knowing him. The Bible said he'll have power to call fire down out of heaven. Now, somebody said, "But I might get him mixed up with the Antichrist." Can't the Antichrist do that too? There's a world of difference and nothing less than what I said, a world of difference, if we had time to explain it. But you see, he'll have power to call fire down out of heaven. But the man that has the power to turn the waters to blood is Moses. Because he said, "Thee shall have power to call fire down from heaven and to turn the waters to blood." It didn't say Elijah would have the power to do that. He said, "And these, my servant, these two witnesses shall have the power to call fire down from heaven and turn the waters into blood in the days of their ministry." They can utilize far greater abilities. But God mentioned these things specifically because these two things have to do with Egypt. And they have to do with a time when the children were delivered from bondage. And they have to do with the days of Moses. That's why that God spoke to them and said, spiritually, called Egypt. Spiritually, where the Lord was crucified. You know where the Lord was crucified. That wasn't down in Egypt, naturally speaking, was it? So then it shows that there's something spiritual about what God is saying concerning the two prophets. Now, I just want to try to clear up a few thoughts if I can. The Bible said that after this ministry has gone on for a while, notice now, Elijah isn't just going to dip down out of heaven and Moses just dip down out of heaven, stay around for a day or two and then take off. Somebody says, "Well, I'm afraid, you know," or they might think like this, "I'm afraid that they might come here and have their ministry and be gone before I ever know about it." No, you don't have to worry about that. The Bible said when they come down here, there's still going to be some time left in this world while they're on the scene. There's going to be 3.5 years that they're going to be preaching. That's quite a ministry, isn't it? Just think, Elijah and Moses, the same Moses that God took away, the same Elijah that God took away, is going to walk this earth for 3.5 years. Not preach a revival for a week, but 3.5 years they'll preach on this earth right here. I'm all you talking about the days of revival. 3.5 years. Like a fellow said the other day, and I don't mean this wrong. I'm not coming against anybody. But somebody on the radio made a statement the other day, said he was Moses and Elijah. Spiritually speaking, we are Moses and Elijah. Because we are body and spirit. And one represents the body and the law, which is Moses. One represents the spirit. So we are. But I can assure you that no one person is going to be Moses and Elijah. He said, my two witnesses. These are my two servants. Not one servant, but two servants. So you don't have to look for one man to be Moses and Elijah. Now, I'm saying these things because there's a lot of confusion going on in the world today. Did you know that? A man get up on the radio and he says he's Moses and Elijah. Well, if you don't know, maybe he is. But see, that's not Scripture. That doesn't bear out at all. Now, that is the spirit of error. And the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of error. So then if that's the spirit of error, there's something wrong. Now, there's a difference in making a mistake and having the spirit of error. Did you know that? There's a difference. All right. A lot of times we are preaching, and the people's minds is in such conglomeration and evil spirits darting about. Till a person will say something, and on the spur of the moment make a mistake, because Satan will cross them up so much. And they have to get their bearings. But I'm speaking of standing up, making a declaration, and saying such and such, that you are such and such in the spirit of error. Now, so then Moses and Elijah is coming back. Why must Moses and Elijah come back? Because Moses and Elijah was in the days of the law. And the law teaches that every person that is under the penalty of the law must die. Every one of them. You would say, but Brother Pike, Moses died already. Alright, let's look at it for just a minute. You'll agree with me that Elijah did not die. Because the scripture said he went over the Jordan, and Elisha himself testified and witnessed that he saw him step on board a fiery chariot and go away. Now, but you would say, I know that Moses died, because the Bible said he died, and God buried him. Let's look at it for just a minute. Why did the writer in the New Testament, not having any scripture for it, but just by spiritual revelation, when we think about Elijah, think about Moses, we do not question the fact that Elijah went away in a fiery chariot. But let's consider Moses for just a minute. Did Moses actually pay the penalty of death? If so, why did this man that received the vision make the statement that the angel of God, while disputing with Satan over the body of Moses, say, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. What was an angel of God doing having a dispute with the devil? What business did he have disputing with the devil to begin with? Angels just don't dispute with the devil for no reason. What was the angel doing disputing with the devil? After all, the devil's got a job to do. If the devil was doing his job, why did God allow an angel to go down there and interfere? The Bible said there's no power except that to be ordained of God. Would God suffer the devil to do a certain thing and then send an angel to interfere with it? No, what it was, Satan was about to get out of his calling. You understand what I'm saying? He was about to overstep his boundaries. See, here was a man that was perfect in all of his house, the Bible said. All of his ways were pleasing to God. A man that had overcome death 80 days and night without food, without a drink of water, had overcome death completely. Could death then have power over him? Was it possible? It is not possible for death to hold a person like that. Did you know it? 80 days without a drink of water. He was beyond death. So then, what was the angel of God doing? What was he doing? He was having a dispute with Satan, not over the soul of Moses. There was no dispute over the soul of Moses. There was no dispute over Moses' right to eternal life. There was no dispute over the spirit of Moses. If it had been a dispute over the spirit of Moses, it would be easy to understand. But there was no dispute over the spirit of Moses. But the Bible said they disputed over the body of Moses. Now, that really brings something to mind. They disputed over the body of Moses. Not over the spirit of Moses, but over the body of Moses. Why the body? Because it is obvious that the death angel flew swiftly to claim the body of Moses. But when he reached for the body of Moses, the angel of God said, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan." And he couldn't lay his hands on the body of Moses. Where did the body of Moses go? That's why they've never found, even until this day, the grave of Moses. They can't find it. They say the Lord buried him up there. But the Lord don't perform funerals the way other people do. You ever thought about that? Praise God. When that widow of Nain come through that gate and that son come out, or that son come out through there, the only means of livelihood that she had, what did God do? He had a funeral, didn't he? He had a funeral. He buried all unbelief and resurrected the son. Didn't he do it? Brought him up out of the grave. Where did you ever read about Jesus Christ ever burying a dead man? Where do you ever get a record where God ever buries a dead man? How could the Spirit of life bury a dead man? Why, if he got any ways close to him, he'd be like 50 million volts of electricity, as we would say. If God even got close to him, he'd light up like the noonday sun. You couldn't put a mountain on him and hold him. All right. Bible said the mountains flee out of his way. So then there was a dispute. The angel of God said, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan." Well, why did he do that? Because I believe that the angel of God came to get the body of Moses. Are you listening? Somebody said, "Well, the angel of God does that to everybody that dies." Where'd you ever read that? Where have you ever done it? There ain't no record where he ever done it. See, he comes to get the spirit of man, but not the body. The Bible said they were having a dispute over the body. He came to get the body of Moses. That's right. Mother Earth had no power over that body. The Lord rebuked thee, Satan. He could have said, "I've come from the body of Moses. I'm going to take it up yonder where Elijah is. You're not going to bury it out there in the dirt. I'm taking this body with me." All he said, "Now, Brother Pike, You don't have any Bible to prove that. Yes, I do. Because the Bible said when they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there they saw Moses and Elijah. There they saw Jesus. You say, well, that was just the spirit of Moses. But now tell me this one thing. You don't deny that it was the body of Elijah. And you don't deny that it was the body of Jesus. Why in the world would God put the spirit of Moses there? That was the body of Moses. That's why they couldn't find it on the mountain. God took it to another mountain. The Mount of Transfiguration. Put him away in glory. I'd say he performs funeral different from other folks. He's got a Christian Hall of Fame. He just laid him away up there in the bosom of Abraham. All right. So then where is Moses tonight? Is Moses dead? No, he's very much alive. Is Elijah dead? No, he's alive. But somebody would say, but Brother Pike, where is these two people if they are not dead? Okay, let me ask you the question. Where is their grave site if they are dead? We got the grave site of Abraham and Sarah. That's far, far back. Past Elijah and Moses. Why then is it that we do not have a gravesite of Moses and Elijah? See, God hid these two men. Why did he hide these two men? Because he said, behold, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Now, we was talking about the difference last night. What is the difference? Here's Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Enoch passed off of the scene, walked with God for 300 years, and the Bible said he was not, for God took him. Why is it that Enoch is not coming back? Now, I know that some say that he will, but he won't. Some say, Brother Pike, Enoch has to come back because it's appointed unto man once to die. But I made the statement before, Enoch was not under the law. Listen now. Enoch was not under the law. Enoch does not have to die. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Therefore, the scriptures cannot be broken. He will never die because he was translated by faith that he should not see death. All right, that settles it, don't it? Paul said that when he caught the revelation. No dispute about it. The one that said he had to come back and die was mistaken because the Bible said he was translated that he should not die. How is it that Enoch could do that? Because Enoch was not under the law. Now, the transgression of the law, according to the Bible, the transgression of the law is sin. How many agree to that? The transgression of the law is sin. And what causes death? Sin. What is the sting of death? Sin. Where there's no transgression, there is no sin. Because sin is the transgression of the law. There is no sin where there's no transgression. You'll agree to that, won't you? All right. If there's no transgression, there is no sin. If sin is the transgression of the law, then how did Enoch escape? There was no law. The Bible said Abraham was justified 430 years before the law ever came on Mount Sinai. Then you have to go way back before that, even beyond the flood, to get to Enoch's justification by faith. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, he wasn't justified by faith. Paul said he was. Somebody said, but faith cometh by the hearing of the word. How could that be? Because the Bible said the scriptures appeared unto Abraham. They appeared unto Abraham. Even the heavens declare his handiwork. I was Abel justified by faith because he had a clean conscience. Is that right? When Peter speaks of it over there, he said it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh that saves you. But he said it's a clear conscience toward God. Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. See, it's with a clear conscience that you're able to believe. Isn't that right? If you don't have a clear conscience tonight, you could never believe. Your conscience must be clear with God. It must be clear with God. If you've got a clear conscience tonight, then you're all right. Now let's look at it like this. Enoch, being before the law, was not under the penalty of the law. He could not transgress the law. He just walked 300 years with God. And everything got sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. The Bible said he was not, for God took him. You know, you can walk with God so long that he gets to liking your company so good that he'll just decide he'll just take you on away. Did you know that? Kind of reminds me down there when we was baptizing. The like figure whereunto we are saved. When the light came down, there was a separation. Now, there's a difference. No law. No transgression, no sin, no death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Back under the law. Why did that happen to Enoch? Because that's what God wanted to happen to me and you. Am I under the law? If I am under the law, then I have fallen from grace. Then where is grace? If we're under the law, where is grace? Paul said, Peter, Jesus died in vain if you do that. Don't put us back under the law. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. He said, Peter, I've got a revelation. You might raise the dead, you might walk on the water, but I've got a revelation from heaven. We're not under the law. I'm free from the law of sin and death, Paul said. Glory to God, said, you Jews don't understand it. I got to find somebody to receive it. The Lord said, go to the Gentiles. He that is a Jew outward is not a Jew. He that is a Jew inwardly, he is the Jew. Glory to God. Don't that make you happy? Hallelujah. So then Enoch did not have to die. Folks, we don't have to die. Don't you understand what I'm saying? I say, but that was for Enoch. Is God respect a person? Does God love Enoch better? You say, but Enoch was translated into the kingdom of God. What did Paul say about us? For Christ hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. Somebody said, but the difference is Enoch ain't around. Ain't no difference. I ain't around either. I might say, but I believe you are. No. See, the Bible said that old man that was called George Pike is dead, crucified, buried. Not him living, but Christ. I might say, but Christ is in heaven. I know it, and I'm so glad about it. That's why I said I've chosen you out of the world. Caught you up into them heavenly places. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Those that's never come out of that old carcass. Those that's still in that intellectual wilderness wandering. Woe to them. To Esau that loves the things of this world. For Satan is like a roaring lion among you, seeking whom he may devour. But God said, John, come up hither. Somebody said, now wait a minute. John was still in the world. He had to do some more preaching, but he still went up there. Jesus appeared in the mount, right there in glory. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. Somebody said, where is Enoch? He's in the same place I'm in. We have fellowship together. Somebody say, now you're speaking too highly of yourself, Brother Pine. The Bible said, speak sober. You mean I can have fellowship with Christ and his head with God? And I can't have fellowship with Enoch? Who's the greater, Christ or Enoch? Somebody said, wait a minute. I'm getting confused. It's not confusing. It's not confusing. How many of you know the Bible said we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received? All right, where did Enoch go? See, that's what I say a lot of times. We don't understand. We think we understand, but we don't understand. This is the power of faith. We have the power to believe ourselves out of death. To as many as believe, to them God gave the power to escape death. To become a son of God, and a son of God cannot die. To escape death, death hath no power over us. Somebody say, now if they take me, put me in a coffin, draw my blood out, stick me in a box, put me in the hole and throw the dirt over me. Then if I could get out, death wouldn't have any power over me. Why go through all of that rigor mortis? Why go through all that mess? I ain't got nothing to do with it. Why do you want somebody to put you in a box and put you in a hole? You don't really want that. Why go through all of that stuff? Jesus did that. If we're not going to believe beyond that, then Christ died in vain. Christ went into the heart of the earth. Christ was buried. Christ was resurrected so that I might live eternally. God doesn't want me to go in a box. The writer said, I can't praise you in the dirt. How can I say glory to God in the dust? The Bible said the dead know not anything. I'm not among the dead, I'm among the living. How do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, but you can't do that, Brother Pike. But I did. Sure as the world, I did. They say, but you can't do nothing like that. Well, come I can't. I feel like Israel did over there when Egypt was going to give them the right to exist. For 3,700 years, he said, the God of Jacob gave us the right to exist. What's Egypt got to do with it? Because the mortician is trying to keep his business going good. That ain't got nothing to do with me. Now, see, we are not under the law, Christian friend. You mean to tell me, Brother Pike, it took us all of these many long years to recognize this? It must have. If it hasn't, why come they hadn't preached it in the Baptist church and in the Methodist church and in the Pentecostal church? Somebody said, well, they do preach it. I'll tell you what, you just go over and talk about it for a little while and they'll excommunicate you if they don't put you in a padded cell. See, it was the revelation of Paul. I didn't get the revelation. It was Christ's revelation. Christ is the one that got it. He just passed it on to Paul and passed it on to me. See, Paul said we're not under the law anymore. Oh, he said, you Jewish folks, I wish you were spiritual. I've got to find the spiritual people, he said. I wish you had the spirit of revelation, he said. My, what a revival we'd have. But did you know, you've got to believe. The word of God was with the Jews, but the Bible said it wasn't mixed with faith. It didn't profit them to hear it. See, the word of God is a spiritual word. It's the word of life. If I can lay hold on the word of life, if I can get that word by faith and believe in that word by faith, I'm going somewhere. Praise God. You say, what do you mean? From glory to glory. Glory to glory. What's that glory to glory got to do with it, somebody said?
God, the Bible said when they appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, they appeared in glory. Hallelujah. From glory to glory. Somebody said, you can't do that, Brother Pike. But I did. See? That was Moses and Elijah in glory, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Somebody said, but you can't go up there. But the Bible said we're changed from glory to glory. I must be in glory somewhere. Somebody said, but I see your old carcass protruding up there. That ain't got nothing to do with it. The Bible said you're just carnal minded. And you're in debt. You don't see nothing but a lying vanity. You say, but I see you. You couldn't see me. Why? Because if we're born of Christ, all of his blood and flesh of his flesh, that makes us good. And the Bible said you can't see when good cometh. You couldn't possibly see me. So then, you're carnal minded because God told you not to know me after the carcass. Isn't that right? I don't know Jesus after the flesh. That fleshly body's gone to heaven. God's preserved it. It's somewhere up there. But I know him as a spiritual revelation. I know him as the Spirit. A quickening spirit that lives on the inside of my heart. Somebody said, well, bless God, you can look for him that way. I'm looking for him with them nail prints. I'll tell you what, when he comes with them nail prints, you're going to say, where did you get them? He's going to say, you're the fellow that done it. And it's going to be too bad for you. Them Jews said, wait a minute. He said, yeah, I'm the fellow. Look at me, Thomas. I'm the fellow. And he looked at them nail prints. When the Jews see them nail prints, somebody said, right then and there, they're going to receive him. That's right. And right then and there, God's going to make Jacob pass under the rod when they see it. And they say, my God, we are the ones that put you on Calvary. And you are the Christ. That same Jesus that we beat and mocked and spit on. You are that same fella. And the Lord will just step gently by and say, okay, Jacob, pass under the rod. And the whip will be laid on their back and the tribulation period will come and the sufferings and the sorrows. I'd rather receive him as I see him. Not after the flesh, but as the Spirit. For he said, behold, I send my messenger before your face. He shall prepare the way of my coming. And then the messenger of the covenant shall suddenly come into his temple to be glorified in his saints. Even the one that you're looking for. Where then am I tonight? I am in glory. Somebody said, but it couldn't be possible. But the Bible said he translated me into the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the glory of God. God has given me his glory. Nobody could do that but God. Nobody could receive that but Christ. For he hath given to me of his glory. I am in glory tonight. Somebody said, but he didn't say glory, he said in heaven. Now how does that sound? And don't confuse heaven with glory, somebody said. Now, that would really sound a radical, wouldn't it? We're going to say glory is a lot richer than heaven. Then we better go to glory and not go to heaven then. I am hid with Christ in God. I am hid. Not going to be hid. I'm already hid with Christ in God. Somebody said, but you can't do that. You hadn't finished your training. You hadn't got perfect yet. God hadn't. Well, you start all out of shape. Not a spot, not a wrinkle, not a blemish. Where do you get that? How many believe you're in the bride? Let me see your hand. All right, the Bible said the bride's made herself ready. How did she make herself ready? She said she didn't have a spot, she didn't have a wrinkle, she didn't have a blemish. Do you mean to tell me that you haven't got a spot, wrinkle, or blemish on you? My, you think a lot of yourself. If you think that highly of yourself, why do you find fault with me? Because I want to live in glory. You love Jesus? The devil said, I'm getting more confused all the time. I don't understand that thing. Well, I imagine Nicodemus must have got warm under the collar when the Lord started talking to him. He told him over there, he said, I've just talked to you about a few earthly things. If I start talking about heavenly things, he said, you won't never understand it. But folks, we got to understand some heavenly things. How do you know that? We're the bride of Christ. We're the sons of God. How can you become a son of God? By believing what I'm preaching tonight. To as many as believe what the Spirit said, that was the power to translate, to become a son of God. What is the son of God? One that can outshine the noonday sun and not die. All right, can I have just a few more minutes? Just a few more minutes. So then God isn't going to send us a substitute. Do you agree? There isn't going to be a substitute. Elijah himself is coming. Elijah. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. I say again, he isn't going to come down here for 2 or 3 hours and slip out and nobody never know he got here. And, you know, just like now, somebody said, oh, woe is me, woe is me. Say, why? Brother Branham, Elijah the prophet come and I never even get to see him. Don't worry about it. You'll get to see him. You'll get to know he's around. He'll be here. That's right. One of these days, a fellow's going to walk around, walk in. You're going to say, who is that? You might say, he's so enough a peculiar looking fellow. One thing about it, he don't giggle at your jokes. He'll walk in. And the Bible said in that day, who's going to be able to stand? You know, that's a good question. When the brightness of the glory of God begins to shine, who then can stand up and say, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them? So bright, brighter and brighter, commanding holiness, commanding righteousness, to purify the sons of Levi, to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father, and the hearts of the Father back to the children. I said, now don't you go off the deep end, Brother Pike, thinking that you're Elijah. I tell you what, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I said, yeah, but Elijah, I'm a son of God. Elijah has yet to do what I've already done. Did you know that? Elijah has yet to do what I've already done. I've been translated into the kingdom of God. The Bible said, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. And John, he said, was Elijah. Is that right? None greater. But see, I have been translated into the kingdom of God. I am in the kingdom of God. Somebody said, wait a minute. You just said Elijah was in the kingdom of God. I didn't say Elijah was in the kingdom of God. I said Elijah appeared in glory. How do you understand that I said Elijah appeared in glory? I said Moses appeared in glory. The Bible said all of them under the law, those that died, they died not having received the promise, but seeing it afar off. They could not be made perfect without you and me. They embraced the promise. And what was the promise? The Holy Ghost. Tarry till you be endued with power from on high. The promise of Christ is Spirit living in the heart of mankind. The promise, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of eternal life. What is the promise? Peter said, this is that they said would come to pass in the last days. The promise is here. The promise is here. How do you know that the promise is here? The promise. What is the promise? The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All of them under the law died wanting that, but they could not receive it. They could not be made perfect. Now, right there is the church without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. That's the church without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. What do you mean by that, Brother Pye? I mean they could not be made the perfect church. They could not be made perfect without us because they didn't have the promise. See, the promise was in our day when Christ would die and all nations would be blessed through the son Isaac, which was Jesus, the promised son. What was the promise? The son. Who is the son? Jesus. Where is the Christ in my heart? To him that overcometh, I will give unto him the bride and the morning star till the day star dawn within your heart. You'll just have to fan the sparks. I've got a few more things to say, and I'm going to say it. The devil might as well get his little briefcase and go home. He's not going to do that tonight. He done that this morning. The ones that don't want to hear, I'll just tell you good night. I won't see you in the morning. All of them that wants to stay on, I'll see you in the morning. All right. So then, there will be an Elijah. There will be a Moses. There will be two servants. The Gentiles must trample under their feet the outer courts, which is the Jewish nation, in that the Arabs and all the other nations will join forces and power against them, trample over them, abuse them, continue to do the things that they've done, having killed them in the dark age, having just went over them just like a field. The Bible said they plowed Jerusalem like a field. They did that. But see, the Bible said when the days of the Gentiles is finished, there comes two prophets. You better start looking. Did you know that? Now, I'm not through. If I was through, I'd quit. When I get through, you'll know it. Now, let's just look at it for a few more minutes. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I want to know when those prophets are coming. I want to know when they're coming. Now then, are they going to come before the rapture of the church? Are they going to come after the rapture of the church? When are they supposed to come down here? The Bible said that these two prophets will come before the dreadful day of the Lord. The dreadful day of the Lord. The time when the sun shall scorch the earth. The time of vengeance. The time when Jesus shall come back in Revelation 19 on a white horse and literally slay his enemies. The Bible said they must come before the dreadful day of the Lord. They've got to come before Revelation 19, that's for sure. Because there's no record of any dreadful day of the Lord after Revelation 19. So that means they've got to come before Revelation 19, where he comes back with his vesture dipped in blood. But the thing is, will we see Moses and Elijah? If the church is to go out in the rapture in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, if God is to take us out of here, then do we see Moses and Elijah? Will the church see Moses and Elijah? Will the church be here while Moses and Elijah is here? Said the Gentiles will trample the place under their feet 42 months, and these prophets will be prophesying. Said the Gentiles will be doing that. Now, but is there a difference between the Gentiles and the church? There definitely is. Now, will we be here? When Moses and Elijah comes on the scene, will we be here as the church? See, that's the question. When will Moses and Elijah come? Now, you see, this positively proves that John the Baptist could not be Elijah. As far as being the natural Elijah that God promised to come back, he could not possibly be. You say, why? Because when he said, I send you the prophet Elijah, and these two prophets come on the scene, it's obvious that they come on the scene when all of the great turmoils of the walls are taking place. All of the locusts come out of the bottomless pit. All of the sorrows, all of the heartaches, the sting when men shall seek death and not be able to find it. All of those things. Now, is the church to be in that? How many of you believe the church will be in that? Do you believe the church is going to be there when the locust is stinging and men shall desire to die and can't find death? Do you believe that there'll be anybody during the tribulation period that's going to be saved? The Bible said all of the earth, all of them that dwell on the face of the earth wandered after the beast during the tribulation period. It said except those that had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever was. Are you listening? There's going to be some people in the tribulation period that has their names wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you believe that? There's going to be some that will not take the mark of the beast. But again, is the church going to be here? No. The church absolutely will not be here. The church is not going to pass under the rod. Jacob is going to pass under the rod. The church has not rejected Christ, but Israel rejected Christ. I didn't reject Christ. Did you reject Christ? All of them that are in the world has rejected Christ. They'll pass under the rod, but not the church. The Bible said God will lead them to fountains of living water. They'll be taken out. You understand what I'm saying? We know all things. We see all things. We watch all things. Everything is taking place. Somebody say, how am I going to see Moses and Elijah? Did you know that in the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that one of the angels that came to John was of the brotherhood? Did you know the Bible said in heaven we are as angels? Did you know that from time to time there might be a brother that will come back and minister to you as an angel? How do you know that? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, to communicate with the dead is spiritualism. Them folks ain't dead. I agree. If you mess with the dead, that is spiritualism. But Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me will never see death. I'm not communicating with the dead. See, there's some people somewhere already that's been caught up somewhere that can communicate with you and I. Did you know that? They can come back. That angel started to bow down at John's feet, or rather John at his feet. And the angel said, no, don't do that. Said, I'm just one of the brothers. Said, I'm from among the prophets. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, who was that? It could have been Elijah. Could have been Moses. One thing about it, he was up there. He was a prophet and he was up there. Somebody said, well, I don't know where they go after they leave here. It was obvious that he was up there. That's pretty good proof as to where they go. Now, so then you say, Brother Pike, if that be true, then when will these men come on the scene? These men will be on the scene during the tribulation period. Are you clear on it now? During the tribulation period, you say, how do you know that they'll be there during the tribulation period? For the Bible speaks of the 42 months. See, it speaks of that period of time. The 42 months. That's Daniel's last week. 3.5 years that they'll prophesy. They're going to be there during the portion of Daniel's last week.
If it's 42 months, it's specifically stated and pointed out that Moses and Elijah will not come back during the time of the Gentile church. You understand what I'm saying? All of these people talking about something that would happen during the Gentile church, looking for that, it will not happen. It's not going to happen. God didn't say it would happen. But if John the Baptist was Elijah, then it did happen. But where's the 42 months? I will send you Elijah the prophet before the dreadful day of the Lord. Somebody would say, but Brother Branham was Elijah. Then where is the dreadful day of the Lord? Somebody said, well, he come before the dreadful day. There'll come a dreadful day. You mean the coming to rapture the church is a dreadful day of the Lord? That's the most beautiful, most wonderful day that Christ could ever have. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, when he comes, he's going to tear up everything. If that be so, then where's the tribulation period? If what you say is true, then it means that the church won't go out to Revelation 19 after the tribulation period. Come on now. Let's don't jump the gun. Let's stay with it. If you're right, let's see where we're going. If the rapture of the church when Christ appears is the dreadful day of the Lord, then what is Revelation 19? If the rapture of the church is before Daniel's last week, then how could it be the dreadful day of the Lord? You say, well, that's the dreadful day of the Lord. The Bible said that there'll be ashes under your feet. I'll burn them all up. If that be true, there won't be any Antichrist. There won't be any tribulation period. Somebody said, but what he means is after a while. But that wasn't what he said. He didn't say after a while. Did he? Somebody said, but he did say before the dreadful day of the Lord. That means there's got to be a space in between that. Well, if that be so, we just say coming the time of Adam. That was before the coming of the Lord. Don't you agree? Came in the days of Abraham. That's before the coming of the Lord. See, it can't be like that. There's got to be some continuity of what Christ is saying. Behold, I send my messenger before my face. When John the Baptist came, Jesus was on the earth. He was before the face of the Lord. And that means that when Elijah comes, that Christ Jesus that has the nail prints in his hands is going to step down and say, here I am. Just as in the days of Elijah. That's going to be a dreadful day of Christ. When they see the nail prints, it's at that time that Lucifer is cast out and the man child goes up. And it's at that time that God flies into that great judgment rage, as the world would say, and turns the world upside down and right side up. The devil turned it upside down. God will turn it right side up. Turn it right side up. Then the stars will fall from heaven. The sun with its scorching heat. All of those things which seem to be pointing right now from all scientific theory to about the year of 80 or 82. If that is true, if scientifically speaking they can pinpoint what's about to happen to the galaxies, then that means there's something taking place. Can you listen just about that much? I'll just drop in a thought or two. I had to bind the devil a while ago, the ones that wanted to go home, you know, that let the devil in, so we could continue on. Look at it for just a few minutes, and I'll close. All of these galaxies that's lining up. What does those galaxies mean in lining up? If the sun is the day star, and the day star is lining up, what is it lining up with? It's lining up with Pluto. What is Pluto? The coldest. Way out here, one extreme, hot or cold, Jesus said. All of those that are in between those two extremes. Hot or cold. Mercury, about the hottest planet, right up there next to the sun. What does it have to do with us in the lining up of the planets? When those planets line up, what does it mean? It means it has to do with the end of the world. When those planets line up, what does it mean? See, those planets have a spiritual significance. If you know what the planets represent, then you know what the significance is. What does the planets represent? They have to represent human beings, angelic beings. You say, how do you get that? There's the sun. There's the sun, which is called the day star. What does it represent? Christ Jesus. That means that those other planets have to do with something. What does it have to do with? The fruits of the Spirit. Can you listen just a minute? They have to do with the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts that's in the body of Christ. When all of those gifts get in line, every spiritual gift in the body, every power of operation, line up in the body. When those spiritual gifts line up. See, right now they're just scattered everywhere, just staggered everywhere. People are selling shoestrings and holy water and this and that. One's running off over here building him a kingdom. Another's building his kingdom over there. It's nothing but a turmoil. But after a while, they're going to line up. Every spiritual man that's really, truthfully a son of God's going to get in line. Everyone that's got those gifts. And all these make-believers is going to fall from heaven. All these reflectors is going to fall from heaven. All the phonies is going to fall from heaven. You understand what I'm saying? Those boys are going to line up, watch and see. Every one of them in one message, in one line. They're going to get a line. And all these super show boys is going to go out on their head. Their holy water with them. You say, what do you think it means, Brother Pike? I mean men like Jimmy Carter, the great kings, the great leaders, the great dignitaries. All of those leaders are going to get in line. Every one of them is going to get in line. They've never been in line before. There's never been a world peace, truly a world peace, never before. The reason is because they've never lined up before. But every one of them is going to get in line. Every great power, every leader is going to get in line. When they get in line, that means that Antichrist will come on the scene. Antichrist gets them all lined up. He'll just step down in one of them and just link them together like a chain. When he does, it'll be what they believe to be a world peace. But it'll be the greatest mistake they've ever made. But at the same time, the gifts in the church will line up. The powers and authorities. And when they line up in the church, God will line them fellas up too. And then Christ will come in. Well, them planets line up and the sun has a beeline. Cold or hot, Alpha and Omega. Every one of them get in line for a world peace. That will be the making of the covenant at the last week of Daniel. Now the covenant, you say, when will the covenant be made? It has to be made at the first of the week. That's why that right now over there in Israel, Begin has been talking over there, having fellowship. That's why they've been getting together. The Pope of Rome, the paper stated they're talking about the holy sites. See, Israel made the tail until she repents of her sin. Then God makes her the head of the nation. She's calling on God. So then the covenant has to be made at the very beginning of the last week of Daniel. The last 7 years. You say, how do you know it has to be made like that? Because the Bible said it's broken in the middle of the week. So it can't be broken in the middle of the week unless it's made at the first of the week. And what does it have to do with? The great world peace. Every one of them will come together and line up. And when they line up, they'll be right in line. The Antichrist will say, I've got them all in line. All I got to do is take Israel, Naboth's vineyard. And about that time, God will switch the thing and turn the world right side up. And that hoary head of the devil will go down into the pit. And Israel that's been down there wandering through the dark places out of the presence of God will resurrect with Christ. Come up and sit at the top of the mountain. The house of God will be established in the high hills, and all nations will flow to it. Everything will be set up just right. I'm going to say these few little things, and then I'm going to close. That's why that the revelation of Christ has to find its place. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, I just don't feel like it's ready yet. Say, well, why? Say, well, Brother so-and-so, he still don't like little Bethlehem. What's that got to do with it? Say, but don't you know Brother so-and-so's going back to Texas or to the Carolinas? What's that got to do with it? You mean God's going to postpone his coming because they decided they don't like Bethlehem? Folks, that ain't got nothing to do with it. You say, well, my brother-in-law ain't saved yet, and he's a nice fella. Somebody said, I know God ain't going to, he ain't going to come back till my daughter gets right. You better believe he's coming back whether your daughter's right or wrong. It makes little difference to God when time comes for him to come back. If my son ain't right, he'll go to hell and yours will go to hell too. That last week of Daniel is getting close. There is something that's in the makings. You better believe what I'm telling you. There is something that's in the makings. And you might as well to quit looking for Elijah and Moses and accept Brother Pike. You might as well to do it. Somebody said, boy, you just wait till them super dupers come. We won't have to put up with this old bald-headed fella. God set in the body of ministry, folks. And I'm part of that ministry. So then what we need to do is have a revival now and quit waiting for a revival to come. Jesus Christ is already here. The revival is already here. Isn't that right? If two or three come together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. What are we looking for? We've already got what we need right here to worship God with, to win the world with, and to do something for God. You love Jesus? All right, I want you to stand with me.